7 excellent toiletry bags, the concealer our beauty expert swears by, the clothing steamer that is like a wrinkle eraser, cooperative games that pitch you against the board and not your friends. These are just a few of the headlines right now at Wirecutter. It's part of the New York Times, and our next guest is an editor for Wirecutter, the consumer products review site that you can find at the New York Times. Jason Chen joining us next. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today on The Larry Mueller Show. And Jason, welcome to The Larry Mueller Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I happen to know a Wirecutter reviewer, Tom Dunn. I knew him back in the day in upstate New York. And I always thought it seemed like such a, like, what a cool job to work for Wirecutter. And then I found out how thorough it is and how vetted products are and how much work actually goes into what appears to be just a real fun time. Jason, tell me a little bit about the history of the Wirecutter, how it became part of the New York Times, and your role in it.
That is really funny that you know Tom. I was just editing a piece of his yesterday on cordless fans, in fact. And there is a lot of work that goes into it. He's sort of getting into the particulars of why one fan blows at 6 miles per hour and how that feels demonstrably different than a fan that blows at 8 miles per hour and its battery life is longer as a result. Anyway, yes, Tom is one of our reviewers, one of our many reviewers. Wirecutter started as a product review and recommendation site in 2011. And it was started by a gentleman named Brian Lamb, who was an editor at a website called Gizmodo. And I'm not going to steal Brian's origin story, but not to get too deep into it, but he, I think, when he tells it, says that a lot of people, when they found out he worked at a tech news website, you know, Gizmodo's entire bread and butter was really reporting on the goings on in Silicon Valley and on tech news. But what most people really wanted to know was, what are the best headphones? Yeah. What is the laptop I should get, you know, and that kind of thing. And as he was hearing more and more of those questions, he just felt like there was a real market for that kind of website to answer those kinds of questions. And so Wirecutter started in 2011 to really interrogate that kind of question. And so it basically began with a couple reporters whose job it was to look at the reviews that existed online, look at the expert recommendations that you could maybe get from sort of trade publications, talk to experts. But the thing that separated Wirecutter from other sort of niche publications or smaller blogs out there was that Wirecutter really tested the things that it was interrogating. So if it was going to find out what the best headphones were, Wirecutter reviewers would, as after its round of research and talking to experts, find the 5 or 6 contenders, the top headphones in the category, and really test them out. And on the criteria that it determined, figure out which ones are the best headphones. And over the years, Wirecutter has sort of pioneered this format that has become easily parodied, you could say. You know, we have this this very, very long guide that has distinct sections that will say who this is for, and we will tell you exactly who this laptop is for. If you are interested in gaming, if you're interested in coding, or if you just want a laptop for browsing the internet and writing in Google Docs from time to time, you know, you might not need a $4,000 laptop. And we'll have a section that says how we picked and tested, in which we're very, very transparent about the criteria that we're looking for and what kinds of experts we talk to and the criteria of the things that we looked at, and the the testing procedures that we put every individual laptop that we tried out through. As the Wirecutter website got more and more of a following, as it started testing more things, it initially started out as a tech review website. It sort of has expanded its footprint. Wirecutter was acquired by the New York Times in 2016. And then in the 10 years since then, it's only sort of grown and grown. And so it's no longer just a tech website at all. You know, I think in the titles you just listed, you know, toiletry bags and and we're obviously doing a lot more than that. And so we've sort of expanded into lifestyle and home and beauty and style. And it's really quite remarkable to see all the ways in which we can be more useful to more people in all facets of their lives. And really what's at the core of it is the testing that undergirds everything that we do, and being helpful to the reader and being absolutely transparent about our independence and making sure that the things that we're recommending are the things that are actually going to help you, the reader.
What is it that allows you to maintain your independence, even if you are getting some click-through income or revenue based on your recommendations, Jason?
Yeah. That's a really good question. You know, in every single guide and every piece that you click on Wirecutter, I think you're getting at something that is pervasive throughout this sort of product recommendation space. Wirecutter, as with a lot of product review and recommendation websites, operates on something called an affiliate revenue model, which basically means, long story short, that if you click on a link that Wirecutter recommends or on a link of an affiliate revenue website, that there is the chance that if you purchase something through that link, the website that sent you to that link will get a small cut of whatever the purchase price is. Depending on whatever the terms are, it can be a small cut, it can be a bigger one, depending on how the terms are struck. And that is basically the affiliate revenue model. And that can result in rather unsavory practices. You know, there are sites that you will see that I'm sure feel rather untrustworthy, and that has resulted in, you know, 34 things you won't believe you can find on Amazon that you and I can probably surmise the person who wrote the piece never touched in the first place. But at Wirecutter, what is absolutely true and what we hold very dear and that you'll see on every piece of our content is what we hold very, very dear, which is our editorial standards, which is that our journalists and our reporters have one question that they're trying to answer, and that is, what is the best X? And that is the only thing that they are concerned themselves with, and they are talking to experts, and they are reading what's online, and then they are doing the testing, and that is the only way they were figuring out that question, the answer to that question. And after that, downstream of that, our very, very capable and amazing colleagues on our commerce team then do the work of figuring out, you know, how do we make affiliate revenue from those recommendations? And the real honest truth is that because they do a very good job, I believe, I hope, it seems like our lights are on because they can make money from the recommendations that we make. But the truth is that as journalists and editors, we don't actually have any insight or window into how any of that works. And from what we know as editors, it's also true that some of the things we recommend we actually don't make any money on because there's no affiliate revenue model. But the truth is that as journalists, we actually operate independently, and that's because we don't want our recommendations to have anything to do with the way that the business part of the operation works. That is not necessarily true of the way that other product recommendation sites work. And what's also really important to us is that if anything that we recommend gets returned or is not going to be functional for our readership, then we don't make any money once that item goes back to the retailer. And so if that relationship between our reader and our journalism gets broken, you know, that is a that might feel like a short-term gain for long-term distrust, and that doesn't feel like a win. And so for us, it's more important to make a recommendation towards something that potentially might not make us money,
Because it's
to
about
actually
trust.
exactly. Trust is the word. Capital T trust is the word of the day.
Jason Chen, our guest editor for Wirecutter, which is owned by the New York Times. And as a New York Times reader, Jason, I think, pardon me, the one thing that I noticed is that when you make these recommendations, they're so personalized, but maybe from the perspective of we don't get to see how organized it is behind the scenes. And I'll give you an example. I'm getting ready for my spring garden, recently purchased a Craftsman 54-inch wooden-handled action garden hoe because it is the one tool that one of your Wirecutter writers said they could not live without in the garden. So I said, well, if I'm going to get my garden started, I've got to have this. But that makes it seem like, and it's read like, you know, it's a personal story from one of your reviewers who went through a whole bunch of gardening tools, and this is the one they would put up top, but that's a process, not necessarily just a, you know, the way it comes off and feels sometimes, somebody's recommendation.
I love that that was what you landed on as well. Are you talking about the piece that Seb wrote, Sebastian? It's yeah.
Beginning of
That
March.
is so funny because, you know, you're actually also touching on something that is expanding upon the palette of story formats that we do at Wirecutter. You know, what has been so true about Wirecutter throughout its 15-year history now, which is crazy, is what I have been talking about earlier, which is that this very prescribed format that can be anywhere from, you know, 3,000 to even 10,000 words, where we have the why you should trust us and how we picked and tested and what have you. But what we've also done more recently is these sort of shorter form, more essayistic pieces in which they're kind of letters of recommendation or odes to a single item that a member of our staff or occasionally freelancers will say, you know, I tried this one thing, I tested it against a couple other things, and I just love it. And in this sort of essayistic form, you can kind of get into why something stands above the rest in a way that's more personal to your point. You know, it doesn't have to be like, I tested 11 things and this one is the best. You know, this can actually feel a little bit more resonant because somebody can devote a little bit more time and space, and you don't necessarily need to go through the, oh, I conducted this XYZ test. I love that that hit for you. And that thing, I think, costs less than $30.
Yeah, exactly. And now I am ready to go in the garden this spring. Jason Chen, our guest editor for Wirecutter Magazine. And it's worth noting that coming up tomorrow on Garden Talk, Liz Freemuth joins the garden hoe. Liz Freemuth actually joins Larry about transplanting your plants into your spring garden. Also, DNR forest health specialist Paul Segan will be with Larry. That's tomorrow on Garden Talk right here on the Larry Mueller Show from 11 to 1. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and you're listening to WPR News. Jason Chen, our guest, editor for Wirecutter, is part of the New York Times. And if you have questions about how Wirecutter goes through thousands of products every year and makes their recommendations to you, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email talk@wpr.org. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today. He'll be back tomorrow for Garden Talk. And Jason, I didn't think that you did bad reviews, but then when I saw the latest on Wirecutter, Cutter today. You've got Dua Lipa's new skincare line, and your review in one word before I click through and read the whole thing is meh. So when do you decide to give a bad review?
Wait, Lee, that's actually really funny that you say that, because I think that it has been a pretty widely held maxim among sort of like glossy magazine world that you don't give bad reviews, that the bad review is to not say anything at all. You're just sort of celebratory. But at Wirecutter, I think we are okay with being honest about things, and certainly honest when we think that something isn't worth your money, because we want to help people spend judiciously. And that's why we will tell people when something, especially that they would be curious about, that is popping off on social media, that has had a lot of marketing dollars spent toward advertising on them on TikTok or on Instagram. You know, obviously we as journalists are getting those same kinds of ads and are getting curious. We want to be a proxy for the reader and really tell you, is this going to work if you're going to spend the money on it? And if we get it in our hands and find that it doesn't, we feel completely fine about telling you, you know, no, that's not going to work. And I also think that for us, it's completely within the realm of Wirecutter journalism to say, you don't need to spend money on this thing either. So for a very long time, we did not necessarily recommend air fryers, for instance. Our recommendation was, you know, an air fryer is an inferior product. It is marketing.
Use your oven.
It's exactly. It is like, it was something where we would tell people, you know, you should use a toaster oven. It's basically a convection setting. We've sort of come around at this point. You know, we've sort of felt that if people want to use an air fryer, if the handle is going to compel you to want to cook more, if for the real world environment in which you want to grab this thing by the handle and give it a shake and cook in those circumstances makes more sense for you, we will give you the recommendation for an air fryer. There have also been situations in which we've said, you know, this new iPhone that just came out is really, really great, but we don't think it's worth your money. And if you want to buy an iPhone right now, you should buy the one that came out last year, because it's now $150 cheaper and has nearly as good specs as the new one, or buy an older one refurbished. Those are the kinds of recommendations that we are absolutely happy to give. We've obviously been in the camp of saying, you know, you don't need to go out and spend money on buying a foot bath. You can just use an old bucket and put warm water in it, and that will feel just as great for your tired feet. That's the kind of advice we are happy to give. And that's the spirit behind giving a middling or negative review also.
And that's the kind of thing that builds trust, Jason. And I'd love to hear the stories about how this comes to be at Wirecutter, because I bet you get pitched every new product that comes down the pike. And so how do you use discretion, editorial discretion, to decide which ones to actually go through the arduous process of reviewing?
Exactly. Because I think what you're getting at is that we are in the business of helping the reader, not companies. And I get that there are so many products and so many companies that are coming down the pike and want the attention of people who are harried and have potentially money to spend. But I think that what we want to determine is, if I am sitting in the position of, I don't really know how to spend my money, I am getting inklings that maybe this thing is potentially useful, but I don't really know. I can't tell if it's gobbledygook or if it's actually going to help me in my life. That is where I think Wirecutter can really step in. And so what we really try to determine is this rising to the level of noise that we can cut through? Yeah. Or is this feeling like one little data point, one little piece of information that maybe somebody has seen, and we want to really be able to help as many people as possible. And if it feels as though there is a genuine curiosity, if it's reached a critical mass where it's a product, to use the air fryer example, if it's a product where people genuinely need a Wirecutter determination on, that's where I think we sort of step in and say, okay, if we've not waited on this yet, I think this is the point where we actually can provide real service to people.
Mary emailed to say she loves Wirecutter, but she often feels that the reviewers are several generations younger than her, and it is the younger demographic Wirecutter is targeting. I don't know how old Mary is, but how old are the folks at Wirecutter, Jason?
Hey, that's a really, really great question and point, and I think that that is something that we're mindful of, and I would say that that spans generations. You know, we have journalists who are in their 30s, we have journalists who are in their 40s, we have journalists in their 50s, we have journalists who are past that, honestly. But I think that it is definitely a point to remember. You know, we just published an aging in place package very recently to really tackle this question on a broader level, which is getting at the ways in which we kind of call them the sandwich generation, folks who are taking care of their children and having to help raise them while they're still at home, are also having to think about their parents who are aging and thinking about potentially end of life and what it means to maybe take care of them while they're in a senior care center, potentially living at home, living with them, what that means, retrofitting a home and what the best accessories for doing that are. We want to provide a service for people at all different stages of their various situations. I think that that was a tremendous piece of journalism that we did that is tackling exactly this kind of question that, quite frankly, does not get enough attention in various arms of the media. But I think that's absolutely a fair question to be asking. And I think that we definitely want to be mindful of this in all facets, whether younger, older, or in between.
Jason, I've got about a minute left here, but just a couple of weeks ago, Wirecutter published its 2026 Best New Picks Awards. And if you were to pick one of your favorites from that list, what would it be and why?
That's really, really, it's so hard. it's like the babies. I would say just because it's within my section, which is our sort of home office section. So the best new picks, we obviously test a whole bunch of things. The best new picks are our 71 new to us.
You're stalling, but I need one because I'm out of time, Jason.
Mine is the QB, which is basically an under desk elliptical, so that when you're working at your desk, you can basically exercise.
The QB.
And this is the QB. And it's, you know, there are people who like do the standing desk thing, and they can do the walking treadmill. This basically lets you be on meetings and exercise, but whoever you're talking with is none the wiser.
Jason Chen, thank you so much for joining us today. Jason's the editor for Wirecutter as part of the New York Times. And thanks to the Larry Mueller team for having me on the air today. Larry's back tomorrow with Garden Talk. The team, Clara Neipert, Joel Patnod, Jeff Robbins, Jill Nadeau. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today. He's back tomorrow on the Larry Mueller Show.